Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by my friends at Dude Wipes. This week, I have been putting together this little indoor golfing range in my garage, and I have been sweating my fucking dick off. And you guys know that I don't like to take showers. I'm strictly on the bath train. Nothing but baths with a full body red, sitting in the garden tub, letting my dick float just barely above the water to keep cool because Texas is hot as shit, and I like a nice, sometimes cool bath. But if I don't have time to do that and I'm setting up shit in my garage and then coming in for a podcast, I grab a couple Dude Wipes, do a little field shower. You military bros know exactly what I'm talking about. So if you're hot as fuck, grab some Dude Wipes, wipe your nuts, wipe your chest, wipe your armpits, and then wipe your face. And if, ladies, if you have a vagina that's sweating, you can also wipe your sweaty cooch with a Dude Wipe, because Dude Wipes, you could be a girl and be a dude too. It's good for your nipples. It's good for your coochie. It's good no matter what. I don't know what happens with your period, but I'm sure that it can wipe that up too. Zero Block 30, let's go. Kevin Clancy, KFC Barstool, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. It's very different from the Podfathers. Usually Chap Skypes in and he's got a shirt on. This yeah. time around, he's doing a Zero Block 30 routine. He's a tough guy with his shirt off and his tattoos out.
Yep.
It's a little bit different than Dad.
You just got to set the field. Like, I wanted you to come in and know this is my show.
Yeah, seriously. You alphaed me hard. I got alpha to the max right here.
You're really bringing it today,
Chaps. I got
Chaps.
The moose behind you. I got the – I have the tobacco scented candle going. I'm drinking a nice Bud Light while we're doing this. It's a great little Thursday afternoon.
Somebody walks in, they're like, this is a fucking military podcast.
Yeah, exactly,
right,
dude. This is not some, like, who's this is a pussy dad podcast. This guy went to war.
Let's fucking go.
With the big, and the funny part is, later in the show, you'll hear our interview with Max that we did, where he talked about basically hardos who look exactly like me. It was like all these guys with a ton of tattoos and a big beard that get drunk all the time and they come off as angry. I was like, relax, dude. Cease and desist. That's my fucking brand. It's worked out all right for me. But,
so,
Riggsy, how are you doing, Riggsy? You doing well?
I'm great. Yeah, things are good. Got some trips coming up and all that. So, Dave's out of town, which is fantastic.
The whole office is just a better place.
Yeah, everybody's happy and friendly and having a good time. And, yeah, things are good.
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
I was just about to ask you. Thanks.
No, I'm doing well.
I was also going to point out, you could tell the people who are full-timers at Barstool, where Riggs is wearing his flannel, Kevin's looking real cash, I'm shirtless, and then Connor's wearing like a three-piece suit.
Tie all the way up. Yep. Doesn't even loosen it up to come into the office.
Oh, man. Yeah, but hey, how the tables have turned, Kevin. Welcome to my show.
This
I appreciate you having the time to come on my podcast.
This fucking guy. You're lucky I'm just gracing you with my presence here. You're lucky I allowed you to grace me with your presence at the bar for like 4 years.
This is true. I mean, there were people that were heated that I was in Bud Light Busters last week. I saw some mighty fierce subtweets about me.
It is the American dream.
It's absolutely right.
Just hang around and do nothing, drink until someone's like, I don't know, just leave me alone, do whatever you want, and then you have a job.
I mean, I guess I basically kind of followed in your footsteps in some ways. Just snaked it.
Yeah, it's because you're like beneath me and you're following and riding my coattails.
You just hang around long enough, somebody to give you a fucking job around here.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
It's nice.
I mean, that's really true. So we wanted to bring Kevin on to the show to talk about our segment called I Want to Be Like You. Charlie, hit him with that Jungle Book.
No, I thought about this, and it was hard because I was like, nope, can't do that, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. But then it struck me, it's a very specific role. I would just be like Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam. I got you fuckers on that one. I fucking got you guys.
That is that's actually a really shit answer.
That is a great loophole.
God damn it.
That was a really good
loophole.
Fuck
you guys right in your faces on that
Son
one.
Son of a bitch.
That was.
No, and it is a loophole
I
answer.
I could definitely hear it. I could see Kevin being like, good morning, Afghanistan.
I'll do it, man. And the troops, I would provide morale, and I would rally them, and I would keep them entertained.
I don't mean to put you on the spot. Can we get a good morning, Afghanistan?
Good morning, Afghanistan!
Wow.
That's electric.
I couldn't even think of an actual military job.
I can imagine you on this show just shitting on, like, everything about Afghanistan.
Yeah.
For the entire
right? Podcast. Absolutely.
That's what I was going to say, because Kevin, if you don't know Kevin, he is prone to complain from time to time.
I don't. That's fake news, alternative facts.
Incredibly
I feel like
accurate.
That's fair to say. So that being said, when you hear Max's interview later, that's like the hallmark of junior troops. Like, I feel like you could be a Terminal Lance, like big time, of the guy that we're about to talk to, like where you go in and you're just like, this was a good job. I've made a huge fucking mistake.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. I would imagine there's a lot of shit to complain about when you're.
Oh yeah, when you're deployed,
like,
that's all you do.
Everything.
That's all you do.
All of the things about being deployed are complainable. Yeah. So I would be like, I don't complain a lot. I just spit the truth.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth then in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah, I'd be like, I feel you. It's hot as fuck and it's dangerous as fuck and this sucks out here.
Yeah.
I would tell them that. And everyone would be like, yeah, it does. I like that radio host.
And oh, by the way, we didn't get new meals shipped into the mess hall and I had to eat the same thing 2 days in a row.
Fuck
what
that.
Is this shit?
You'd have a fucking, your whole station all day. You would just go all fucking day.
24 hours of me talking about how it sucks over here. Why? Let's just fucking get out. This place sucks.
Yeah. No, I gave it some thought, though, Kev. Because
what do you think I'd be good at, actually, military-wise?
I gave it some serious thought, and you have had a ton of injuries. Ridiculous. You've been... Six surgeries is a lot, especially for someone who
doesn't
did not play any sort of, like, high-level athletics.
That's the most stunning part, is that you don't do anything.
Right. Correct. Right. It's been a bad run. Okay. A little bit of a... We'll call it bad luck.
Yeah, my favorite one's definitely your freshman year in college, falling down.
Yeah,
drunk,
sleepwalking.
Literally.
No, I was not. I was not drunk. I mean, I was probably a little drunk.
Yeah,
but I was sleepwalking. I don't know what's worse. I think I should just tell
people.
I
don't think. Yeah, let's go with the
people
drunk
think
thing.
I was on drugs. I'm like, I wasn't. I wish I was, but I was sleepwalking and blew out my shoulder.
So I think you would have entered the military as just like a normal combat arms job and gotten hurt so many times. Every military post, at least in the Army, we have what's called MWR, like gyms, like gym facilities, and there's people that like check your ID when you walk in and then like hand you a towel. That is the extent of their job. That would be you. You would get hurt so much that you'd like be taken out of combat arms, you'd get put into some sort of support unit, and then you would get assigned the gym where you just hand out towels.
I would be great at that.
Yeah.
I would gladly hand you a towel, chaps.
Actual job, I think, because you have an MBA, right? MBA?
Yeah.
So you're an actual smart guy. No, I think you could work in the finance office with a caveat that you would be petty as fuck to the people who outranked you.
Fuck like, yeah.
You would be the guy that you would be like the Lance Corporal or Corporal who's like a junior troop who would come in. The junior ranking officer or like a guy like me would come in and you would be like, I can't see you today. Sorry. You're going to have to make an appointment. Knowing good and well that all you're doing is playing like Minecraft. Right? You don't have shit going on. You just be petty as fuck.
I have an MBA. I'm not that good at finance. I have many, many degrees in being petty. I will be as petty as you fucking need me to, man. That's what this country needs. Is that what you need, chaps? I will be that petty guy in the finance department.
Hell yeah. So what we wanted to bring Kevin on besides that is that on his other podcast that he's the host of, KFC Radio, they are pretty famous for doing scenario-based shit. So if you haven't checked out KFC Radio, make sure you download, subscribe, hit that 5-star review button. Connor, do we have a hypothetical ready for young Kevin?
Yeah, so actually we had a hypothetical that would have really fit when we did the F-18s versus Khaleesi's Dragons. Now, Kevin, you're a Game of Thrones guy.
Yep.
So just real quick, two F-18s versus two of Khaleesi's Dragons.
As much as I think Khaleesi's Dragons are badass and fuck shit up, I feel like F-18s are just dragons on steroids that you can kind of control more. If it's head-to-head, I just don't see a way that a dragon beats a plane.
And it should be said that there were a few people in the office that were furious that they were not included on that discussion.
Yeah.
Within 2 minutes of us coming out of the podcast studio last week, we were about to fist fight out there over. They were saying Khaleesi's Dragons might be bulletproof because they've never clarified that they're not bulletproof.
Yeah,
hey,
it was like,
hey, have you ever seen one of those dragons been shot by a gun?
And, exactly. And it was like trying to argue with him was psychotic.
Let's bring it back because those pussy ass dragons were bound by chains. They couldn't get out of chains in a basement.
That's a great
so
point.
You're telling me that they can withstand 30
trust
millimeter
me, chaps,
guns?
I was saying all this, and then they were like, well, just because bulletproof things can be bound by chains. They've
I didn't
never
think I was
going to
be
were
at the point today where I was going to call Khaleesi's Dragons pussies, but here we are.
Yeah, so there was a lot of fireworks from last week that were not captured on the podcast.
Yeah, it was lost, but thank God Kevin has a brain and agrees with us. So the hypothetical that I like to caveat on that comes from office manager Brett. And office manager Brett wants to know, if you had to could you land an F-18 on an aircraft carrier?
Like me right now?
Me personally?
You personally, could you land an F-18 on an aircraft carrier?
I couldn't land an F-18 in like one designated state. If you gave me like an entire state.
Just get rid of the aircraft carrier, I would miss the ocean.
Not even close.
You could just go ahead and pave the entire country of Egypt.
Yeah.
I mean, could you?
Here's the thing. Like, if you ask irrational,
I think that's a very specific...
if you ask irrational, Connor, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll figure it out. But like, knowing pilots and what it goes into to flying an aircraft,
that is a very specific skill.
I'm not kidding. If you said you paved the entire island of Manhattan, Riggsy, you have to land this thing on Manhattan. It's flat paved. I couldn't even come close. I guarantee.
Especially
not
if
even
you're
close.
Going from full speed, because you don't know how fast you have to go. I feel like if the question was, can you land a helicopter safely, and not even safely, where you don't die, I feel like I'm much more likely to be able to land like a Black Hawk than I would be an F-18.
I would say I'm more likely to do that, but I don't think I have a good shot at either.
Well, because here's the thing with an F-18 on an aircraft carrier. There's two extremes. You either hit it and you catch that cable that catches you and you land it, or you die. I don't think there's an in-between. You can't really in-between landing on an aircraft carrier, which speaks to how difficult that is.
And if you miss the thing, you just kind of like take back off.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Top Gun.
It's just like Top Gun. I've seen Top Gun enough times. I could do it.
You just skim off it. You just whoop right back. You just keep trying. Keep firing.
I do know this. If I am flying it and I know I can't, I'm taking fuckers out with me. Like, they are going down. Like, I don't care where we're at. Other people are, because I'm going to be like, oh, just took out half of the building. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I would be worried that I would destroy the entire aircraft.
Yeah, because it's. I think people are initially think of it as like, could you like safely navigate a landing strip? It's like, like you said, I don't care how big it is. I'm probably going to crash. Probably going to come in too hot, too flat. I'm just going to crash into the ground.
Plus, it's me. I'm panicking. I know my life's on the line. I know I don't know what I'm doing. We're going really fucking fast.
Really fucking fast.
No shit. I mean, not even close.
Is there any amount of money that I could give you to attempt it?
Nope, none.
Yes.
Not when you could really die.
That's what I mean. Death is the only other option. You either land or you, like, die.
I would give it a go.
I'd give it a go, too, for a certain amount of money.
That's you guys are insane.
Again, just because you guys have military experience, it doesn't have anything to do with flying a
plane. No. The only reason
I changed it. I would not give it a go on an aircraft carrier. No. I would give it a go on a normal airport.
Yeah.
Like, I would give it a go. Especially if they gave me that little string thing that they, like, grabs onto it.
We're talking right now. Like, they just, chaps, you put your T-shirt on, get in the plane, you have to land it right now. You think that would be worth it for you?
I wish the people could see, because I have like a basket full of whiskey here. If they're like, you got to do it, I'd fucking take a couple shots of whiskey and be like, let's go.
Which fucking landing strip?
Have you been in those planes?
I've seen the inside. I've never flown in one.
Chaps?
I've sat in one. I've never flown.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're in a goddamn spaceship.
Yeah. That would be cool.
I'd be scared out of my mind. Even if I was in the back.
Yeah.
If I was in the back seat, I would be fucking terrified of going that fast.
Those guys are awesome.
I think that's one of my goals in life, though. You see all these like celebrities and like announcers or whatever that get to ride with like the Blue Angels in the back of a jet. I think that's got to be a goal to just fly in the back of a jet.
I feel like people have this nostalgia about fighter pilots that they're so badass. They're fucking nerds. They have to be so smart to be an F-18 pilot.
My grandfather was a fighter pilot, chaps.
He was a nerd.
He was a nerd.
If you're a fighter pilot, because you know, Connor, for being a West Point guy, how hard is it to get to the point? Like, how much do you have to succeed to be?
Hey, chaps,
chosen to be a firefighter.
Was Ted Williams a nerd?
Yes, no, he was a fighter pilot. I'm not. I mean, come on. I've read a few history books in my day. Not fast, but I've read them.
I had to start over a couple pages there, but I got
fast through. Particularly clean, but I read them.
I'm going to have to back up these guys. I think they're like astronauts. They're like the fucking the smartest, most badass dudes out there.
Yeah, if you had asked me John Glenn, I wouldn't be able to say John Glenn's a nerd.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and he was a pilot before he was an astronaut.
Right, fighter pilots are like the cream of the crop. And then when aliens invade, they fucking fly the UFOs.
They're the only ones that have a shot.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
But shit.
But can we agree that fighter pilots are bullshit because they're smart, they're usually in great shape, and they're, 90% of the time they're handsome too?
Oh,
because
dude.
They're in like that leather jacket thing?
My best friend from college, this guy Seth, he was an amazing athlete, best looking one of my friends by far, one of the smartest dudes I know, like, you know, dean's list every semester. And then he decides, like, I'm going to be a pilot too. And then he became a pilot in the 160th, which is the special operations. So this guy's like one of the best pilots the Army has to offer. And we're like, dude, like, you can't leave some for the rest of us? Like, this is pretty messed up.
As long as he's American, yeah, maybe. That's all I care about.
Yeah, seriously. We want more of those, Connor. Yeah, more of those guys,
please.
Let's
keep cranking those. Is he reproducing?
Oh, yeah. He's got two kids.
You guys dating?
Good.
No, unfortunately.
Well, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you,
check
guys.
Out KFC. Obviously, check out Podfathers. There's a couple handsome guys on that one. So, thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, guys. Kev. Appreciate it.
See you, Kev.
This next part of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by DollarShaveClub.com. There is no reason to use cheap disposable razors or pay for a ridiculously high-priced item that's gimmicky, that's got a laser pointer with 17 blades. Make the smarter choice and join DollarShaveClub.com like I did. Before Dollar Shave Club, it was either save money and get a painful shave from a disposable razor like the ones they give away for free at the gym, which felt like shaving with a piece of glass. But Dollar Shave Club is the best of both worlds. It's a premium shave at a disposable price. Get a close, smooth shave every time. And you can't beat the convenience or the price of the club. If you haven't tried Dollar Shave Club yet, you're missing out. It's an amazing shave at an affordable price. There's no smarter choice on the market right now. They are giving away a free month's trial for $1 with free shipping. Fuck, almost got through it. Now I'm just going to ad-lib. Almost
so
fucking
close.
Nailed it. I have a hairy chest right now, and as soon as I get off, because I'm sweating my ass off because of the golf situation, I'm going to go in, I'm going to lather up my chest, and I'm going to shave the fuck out of it with a DollarShaveClub.com razor. And you know how I'm going to do that? I'm going to do it because I ordered it on DollarShave.com/chaps, and I got some money off. I got $1 razor with free shipping for a month, and then I can cancel it anytime. That's what I'm going to do. You should too, DollarShaveClub.com. Anyways, let's move on, boys. Fuck my reading.
You got to add that more. That was.
Yeah, that was so much better.
That was sexy.
Yeah. I mean, I look good. Like, I'm watching myself glisten as I continue to sweat. I don't know why. It could be the light above me. But anyways. So this week, big week, fellas. Big weeks in politics, big weeks in healthcare, all that shit. We'll get into a little bit of all of it. But first of all, let's go over Director Comey's trip to the Hill this week. It was a pretty big trip, wouldn't you say, young Riggsy?
It was a big trip. I was excited going in, being a, you know, a little bit of a political nerd, and it delivered like tenfold what I thought. Some of his quotes are wild. A lot of the revelations about Russia and all the connections and all of the, I mean, he really didn't make Trump look great, if we're being honest.
No, I was going to ask you, what do you think really stood out for you?
The wiretapping stuff where he was like, yeah, there's literally no evidence.
Zero.
Whatsoever.
He's like, oh, by the way, like, no president has ever even come close to doing that.
Yeah, because a lot of people, I think, were, if anything, holding on a little bit to like, oh, okay, this is some intelligence stuff maybe we're not supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he and Rogers, the NSA guy, were like, nope, like, there's
not
nothing.
How we do it.
My favorite part of the entire thing, because modern technology is amazing. This could have never happened in 1888, where the sitting president, during the confirmation, is tweeting out videos of what happened at the confirmation, kind of misleading people. And then while they're still in the confirmation, haven't even left to do a piss break, they're like, well, the president just tweeted this. Would you characterize that you said this? And they're both like, no, that's not what we said at all. We hope not. We hope we didn't mean to say that. It was just a wild scene. Like, presidencies will never be the same after this point, ever.
Nope. It's crazy. And it's, you know, it's feels repetitive to continue to say, like, oh my God, this is crazy. And it is a little bit, but it's important. The guy's the fucking president of the United States. I thought it was really interesting when they were both asked, you know, is Russia our adversary?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they both said definitively yes. And they both explained a little bit that, you know, people have to understand what that means is that Russia is trying to, at all times, in everything that they do, elevate Russia and do it at America's expense.
Yep.
People have to realize that. And it's, I do try to clarify for people, because I joke around all the time. It's my job about fucking Putin. A lot of the shit that he and Trump and their bromance is funny.
Yeah.
Putin with his shirtless pictures and horses, and he's playing hockey all the time and making people claim he had like 8 goals and all this shit. It's funny. But at the end of the day, the guy's a KGB agent who's fucking got Russia and Russia only on his mind, and fuck everyone else. And it was important that they reminded us of that, I think.
Yeah, because I think that was a very definitive line in the sand. Like, yeah, they are an adversary, which that almost, I mean, it almost harkens back to the Cold War and how we felt about them then. Because I always felt like, kind of what you were saying, we kind of looked at Putin where it was like, ah, yeah, we know Russia's not the best, but like, what, you know, it's not the worst either. But now you say, like, hey, they're a definitive, adversary, and that's a different tone altogether.
Yeah, and Trump kind of makes you, you know, he's taken that tone many times. He's complimented Putin and all that.
Yeah.
Which, again, like, I don't hate necessarily that world leaders get along and all of that, but he has painted, I feel like, in a lot of people's mind this image that, you know, oh, us and Russia, we're kind of in it together. Like, no, like, Russia's fucking Russia.
And it's amazing that that's the only person in the executive branch that's doing that. Tillerson is like, he's spoken out against Russia. Nikki Haley has spoken out against Russia. Mattis has. General Kelly has. Like, all these people. And you're just like, come on, dude, just say something. Like, even to save a little bit of face if you don't believe it. But he's just, like, refusing to do it. And then not only did we have that meeting, but then 2 days later, really a huge break from normal political process, where you had Representative Nunes, who is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, go and brief a sitting president about the investigation that is around his presidency, which was fucking wild.
Before telling his counterpart.
Yeah, before telling the ranking Democratic member of the same committee. And it's crazy because when I was watching the different various news channels, every single one, even Fox, had guys that were former intelligence community people who were fucking pissed that that happened. That they outed, even if it was on accident or not even a complete out, that he would go and say, like, yes, this was part of the FISA agreement. Even acknowledging of what you talked about last week, Riggs, when we talked about what a FISA agreement was and even how to get it and who's under it is classified. Him acknowledging that there's several FISA warrants around it was bad. Like, that's, it was a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to detail, was that a week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, the FISA court, all that goes into it, how secretive it is, how inside that judicial building, people don't even know where the fucking actual courtroom is. That's how secretive it is. So for him to come out and divulge that type of information so casually, too, in the presser and say the things that he said were shocking. John McCain came out today and grilled him pretty good, and then he came out and apologized to Democrats. All in a matter of less than 24 hours. And then you try to relate it all back to the wiretapping stuff, which really it's not related to, which is crazy.
So what do you guys think his motivation was? I know we don't know him at all and we could possibly know, but like speculation-wise, like, you know that. Like, if you were in that position and you rose to the rank to reach the level of chairman, you know the steps and what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. Connor, what do you think his motivation could have possibly been to go to the executive branch in an active investigation?
I mean, my only thing is that someone from the executive branch, up to and including President Trump, is in his ear telling him, you need to come tell me anything, any pertinent information. You need to tell me first. And obviously that's completely against protocol. But I can't, because Chaps, you said it, like, you don't get to that position without knowing the way you're supposed to go about briefing who you need to brief. So to just go that rogue almost, it's crazy.
I think you're fully fine to say he went completely rogue and like admitted it today that he basically did.
But I mean, I was listening, I was at the gym working out on the treadmill or whatever and listening, no big deal, summer's around the corner, gotta get ready.
Summer bod's
coming. But Senator McCain was talking, and it kind of gave me pause because all this talk about the election and wiretapping and all these nonsensical issues, it almost – do you guys get the sense that it's very almost petty and immature the way that they are still acting towards each other, both sides of the aisle and including the president? Because, I mean, McCain had a great quote. He's like, I've long given up trying to interpret the words of the president because he just, you know, is always spewing nonsense. And he's like, I just want to judge him on his actions. So I almost feel like, and he also said, let's assign a committee to investigate this, and then they worry about that. And then everyone else, let's go back to doing our jobs because, oh, by the way, we have all these other issues that we have to talk about, like, oh, you know, maybe healthcare. So I don't know. I get the impression that it's just, it's bad politics. It's immature. It's something you would see in, like, a high school drama almost.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Or am I trivializing it?
I think that that trivializes a little bit because it's like, and I love McCain and love what he represents, but I think that he sometimes still gets caught up in like a partisan view of it. Because if your wife cheats on you, you can't be like, I understand that she's cheating on you, but we'll let the divorce attorneys deal with that. Mm-hmm. Let's still just go to the playground with the kids and do everything else we have to do as parents. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah,
when something's so big, you can't just put it aside.
I agree. You can't just ignore everything that's been going on. But I feel like you have to make an effort to move past it with a concerted effort. Address it, but then move past it.
Now, my opinion on – I don't agree with that. But point of view
I mean, because why I do don't you have to dwell on move, it?
Because it's such a huge issue. I mean, if it really is having somebody affect the free electing process and knowingly colluding with Russia, which the allegations are – that's not something that you could just set aside and move on.
No, I'm not saying move on completely.
Or focus on the other things. I understand that the other communities have to do their jobs, but they can do their jobs while still having that as a forefront. Like, we need to be careful here. Like, there's going to be a lot more that come out, and we'll have a lot that goes into it. What I think, my opinion on Nunes is the only possible rational thinking that he could have is that he wanted to recruit himself, but he didn't want to do it to himself. So he went out and did something that he knew probably wasn't illegal. He wouldn't get jail time for it, but he would definitely be recruited from being the guy who's investigating his same party's president. So because he's going to be removed from that position of being the primary investigator of the president, he definitely is.
Yeah, that's a little woke chaps, which, I mean, it makes sense.
Chaps takes his shirt off and gets so woke.
Yeah, he also, yeah. You know, I think he's pretty loyal to Trump and has been. I put in the blog about a week ago.
He gets recruited and the partisan dogs don't come after him from the Republican side because he's no longer involved with it. Like, he's done. Like, so he will never be known as the guy from the Republican Party who got the Republican president impeached.
Yeah, but I think that, I mean, that definitely makes sense. That's one theory that it could very well be true. He is taking a lot of shit to get to that point. So yeah,
he is, but he might ultimately be forgotten if he's not the one that's doing the investigation. Because you don't remember who was the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee when Bill Clinton got impeached. You don't remember that name, but you sure as fuck remember Ken Starr's name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that would have been, you know, that would have been a hell of a calculation on his part. It's like, hey, I'll take all this shit now. And there must be some stuff that he really, really knows, which he did say. He alluded to, you know, there's some shit that the American people are not going to like or would not like if they knew. Which, again, it's very bizarre to just bring that stuff up and touch on it and tease on it and all that. I motivations and all that, I'm sure they'll come to light eventually. But I don't think that's a bad theory, Japs. I could see that being the case. In which case,
and we're just spitballing. We're just doing a little InfoWars, Zero Block 30 style.
Yeah.
We're just doing,
which is fun. Everybody loves that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little wokeness.
I mean, I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility. It's just
I would do it. I mean, if I was him and I knew that I wanted to have a political career the rest of my life, he knows that if he is in that position and he brings down, it could go two ways. He could either be the hero and be viewed as, like, the ultimate bipartisan person, which I feel like America is really, like, hungry for. Like, I feel like if there was a politician who came up from the Republican side who was a legit, completely bipartisan person, or a Democrat that went against Democrat shit and Republican shit and just, like, spoke their mind and had these platforms and didn't go with their party, that is something that America would really, like, thirst after. And he could have been that dude. Who knows? I mean, we're just spitballing, a little spitballing.
Yeah, I wonder if even though America may be ready for that, I don't know if all the folks in Washington I still think you got the health boat. Yeah. So I don't know. That's something for another further discussion. But I do think
all that shit going on, which is a lot of shit. I mean, that's a lot of shit. And then you have trying to rewrite a health bill that was written in like 2 weeks, like going up for again, and it looks like they're going to get a no vote from it. I mean, it's just been a wild, wild week. And we keep saying that. I mean, don't we? We keep saying it's a wild week, and we can't allow this new normal to be normal. Like, you just can't.
Yeah, you really got to kudos to the real journalists who just grind and keep churning this stuff up and covering it. Hopefully they don't get too exhausted doing it, because there's a lot of shit going on. I think it's important, but I think it's important for people to, you know, to be able to have access to see it all, to understand it all. But I mean, there's no way that people can keep up with it. There's no way you can keep up an appetite for all of their shit. I mean, right now you can't even really focus on the healthcare stuff.
No, it was like on the bottom line of all the discussions yesterday. It's like, oh, by the way, that healthcare vote's coming up.
Which I feel like outside of this type of all the shit going around this administration in particular, healthcare would be the top dog. I mean, that would be that was one of the top campaign issues and all of that, and now it's pretty much been like swept under the rug. Like, if you bring it up, it just sounds boring as fuck and nobody cares when you've got all this other stuff, you know.
Even though you'll have thousands and millions of people that are losing healthcare coverage, and like the older people are the ones taking the hit. The Koch brothers, who are the most partisan dudes on the planet, saying that if you don't vote no, then you're not getting any campaign funds from us, when they're the biggest Republican donors that there are. Like, it's just amazing, like, the things that are happening that aren't even stories. The Koch brothers saying, if you don't vote against the sitting president and we have the numbers, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, and you've got representatives in Congress, you know, basically saying, I know that this bill is going to be very bad for a lot of my constituents, but like, I don't know if I can vote against the healthcare bill from my party's sitting president. So it's just, it's wild, and like we said, people don't even really want to talk about it, I feel like.
People on the Hill are getting exhausted talking about all these other cursory issues. Well, not really cursory, but all these other issues that are at the forefront that are not healthcare.
The thing that sucks about the healthcare is the biggest problem with it was that it was rushed and not done right the first time. And then they're rushing it to replace it with something that's going to be dog shit. And it's like, what the fuck? Just like, settle down. And do it right, and explain that to everyone. Everyone will be like, yeah, it's fine.
Well, Obama wanted a legacy, and now Trump vehemently hated that legacy, so his first order is like, we got to get rid of it as fast as we can.
I believe that it took Obama nearly 2 years to have their health bill like really in place before they even had like cursory votes on it. And I feel like one of the main problems that we're having now is, even in the electoral process, there's a phrase that you hear on the stump from no matter who's running for what office, and it's day one. Mm-hmm. Don't do it fucking day one. Do it right.
Yeah.
Right. Do it the right way. Like, don't just go in there and be like, well, I told you I was going to get rid of Obamacare, so we got rid of it. If you go out and you have people write a bill that's legitimately better than Obamacare, do it. But if you can't do it, leave it in place until you have something better, and it's going to be better, not something that just so you can say Obamacare is gone. Who gives a fuck about that? Stop trying to be right and do right by the American people.
Yeah, to make a military analogy, chaps, I mean, if I imagined I was out on my combat outpost and I had, just for argument's sake, I had 4 Humvees, and they said, hey, we got these new MRAPs, they're better, and we're going to get them to you, but we're going to take away your Humvees right now. The MRAPs aren't ready, but we're going to take them to you right now. And that would be like me agreeing to it and just be like, oh, okay, well, I got nothing. No, I'd rather wait until... I'll hold on to these Humvees until I got the MRAPs.
Especially when you have the mechanics who are going to work on the M1s that are saying, these things are going to break down too.
Right.
Like, you're still going to have big issues.
And it's frustrating because, you know, you understand the reason that they're doing it is to say in 2 years or in 4 years for Trump, you know, hey, we promised we were going to repeal Obamacare and replace it, and we did it. Even if that thing's dog shit, that's the line. That's the soundbite that they'll use over and over and over again. And it's like, why the fuck can't these people just figure it out, do it right? It's comprehensive. It needs to take time. That's fine. But, like, do it right. This is people's, like, this is healthcare. This is people's fucking health and life.
It's like we use this term a lot, but it's legitimately people's lives. Like, you have people who are receiving cancer treatment that if their shit rolls over, they will no longer get that treatment. Like, it's a big deal. Well, now on Zero Block 30, we have a very special guest, somebody that I've been reading probably since I picked up Sergeant in like 2010. Max from the Terminal Lance is on the show. And just to give you a brief introduction, Matt has been doing crazy funny comics for years. Probably, I said it on Twitter, he's probably the most read person in the history of the Marine Corps. And that's because every single Marine that I knew from like 2010 on read it. They just do, and they still do. I mean, guys that get out, it's the only publication that I know. Marines give up Marine Times. They give up all the other bullshit, but they don't give up Max. So, Max, welcome onto the show, dude. I'm stoked to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, you guys. It is great to be here. And, you know, what's funny is the comic strip Terminal Lance is also available in the Marine Times. So don't give that up.
How long have you been in the Marine Times? Is it that hasn't been from the jump, right?
No, it started. It actually started the same year that Terminal Lance started, but it was in November. Terminal Lance began in May, it began in January. I got out in May, it was months after Terminal Lance had come out, and the Marine Times was like, "Hey, you should put the comic in our newspaper." And
so before
like, all right, let's do it.
So before we get into what a Terminal Lance is, kind of walk the people through what you did in the Marine Corps. You didn't just start off. I'm sure you did. Kind of. Did you start off as a scribe in boot camp, or the scribe, or the scribble, or the artist recruit?
No, I was the artist recruit, which is by far the best billet that you could have in boot camp, because I got to skate out of so much stuff. I would just like stay back in the squad bay while everybody else had to do a bunch of dumb shit, because I was working on drone structures like cover blocks and painting range flags and stuff. So I was in the Marine Corps at the age of 19 from Portland, Oregon, from 2006 to 2010. I was an 0351 infantry assaultman, and I was stationed with 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marines, India Company, Weapons Platoon.
There it is.
From 2006 to 2010. Well, I got there like late 2006. So then I went to Iraq twice with 3-3, once in 07 to the Zaidan region in southeast of Fallujah, and then once again to Al Asad Air Base.
Best pastries in the game.
Yeah, I know, man. We had Cinnabon and everything. It was the best. that was in 2009.
Because we have a lot of civilian listeners, so kind of explain what the duties of an 0351 is.
So that's infantry assaultmen, and our primary weapon is the SMA. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear my dog in the background. He's like drinking water. Our primary weapon is the SMA, which is an acronym for the shoulder-fired multi-purpose assault weapon. It's a rocket launcher, basically. It's an 83-millimeter rocket launcher. And we also did demolition. So we're kind of like combat engineers. We're basically combat engineers, but in the infantry and not a separate entity from the infantry.
But you guys get hoed out to do basically anything a lot of times, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anything they need, they're just like, give me a 51 real quick.
Yeah, because they don't really use us for a lot of demo and stuff. At least when I was in Iraq the first time, we were operating in farmland, so they had like no purpose for 51s. So they turned us all into machine gunners pretty much. And we became the company Jump Platoon, and I was a 50 cal gunner during my first deployment in Iraq. So I was a machine gunner essentially. So that's what they're supposed to do. What an 0351 is supposed to do is launch rockets and demo and that kind of stuff.
So you launched that from your military career, from spending time in Iraq twice to coming back. Explain to people who don't know what a Terminal Lance is. Kind of explain what a Terminal Lance is.
Yeah, so Terminal Lance is a fairly common colloquial term in the Marine Corps that describes. So To be familiar with the terminal lanes, you got to know the ranks. So it's the third rank on the enlisted side. So it goes private, private first class, and then lance corporal. So you're very low on the totem pole. Terminal in the military means to get out or to be about to leave. You're on terminal if you are within like a month of separating or you take terminal leave or whatever. Like you are terminally getting out of the military. So in an ideal universe, which is very rare, well, not that rare, but rare for me, you would get out of the Marine Corps as a corporal. So you'd get out as the next rank up. But in my case, and in many Marines' cases, you get out as a lance corporal, which would make you a terminal lance, which has a connotation to it of being a shitty person.
Yes, it does.
So let's paint the picture for a little bit. I know we're kind of leaving Connor out a little bit, but this is
that's all right. You Marine boys go at it. It's all good.
A pretty Marine-specific conversation. So a terminal lance, I'll give you some. Let's give them some examples. A terminal lance is a guy that if he goes to the Marine Corps birthday ball, he's wearing the green uniform instead of the dress blues. Would you agree? He's definitely a service alpha dude. that's a terminal lance because he's just not gonna. He's like, fuck it, my career is basically over. I'm not spending the money on blues.
Yeah, well, they make you buy them now, so you can't not have them anymore. I guess you could sell them to a military surplus store or something, but.
Or a rapper.
But yeah,
or something.
No, yeah, absolutely. 50 Cent, he'll wear mine. Actually, I should do that. I never even thought of that. but yeah, a terminal lance is somebody. They call it dropping your pack. Like you dropped your pack. Like you gave up. Like you just don't give a shit anymore. And that's essentially what a terminal lance is usually seen as being.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of guys, they join the military in general, you know, in the Marines as well, because maybe they're coming out of high school and they don't really have direction in life yet, so they want to try out the military. And they do it for a few years and they realize, oh, well, maybe I suck at this, so that's why they leave. But other guys just feel like, hey, I just want to do a few years and I'm good. But no, from the connotations and the stories I've heard about terminal lances, and we have similar incidents in the Army as well, just no fancy name for it, but I feel like it's a pretty common thing.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's about not being good at it. I was very good at it. You know, I was good. I had a first best PFT expert rifle shooter, and I just hated it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it just wasn't for you.
And you were at the point. There's a point in time, probably where you were at, where the cutting scores, and for those that don't know what a cutting score is, it's what's calculated to get you promoted to the next rank. If I'm not wrong, like historically, you were at the point where 51 score to get promoted was like insanely high, right?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And that is like, I still have a grudge against this stupid cutting score system, because here's my issue with it. So as a lance corporal, 0351, you know, I'm in the same platoon as other infantry dudes, and we all do pretty much the same thing, you know. But they'll get promoted with a different score. So, like, they'll get promoted with, like, a 1600. But then an 0351 standing in the same platoon as these guys will not get promoted because their score, you have to have, like, an 1800 or something ridiculous to reach the same rank. But that rank applies to the whole Marine Corps. It doesn't just apply to your platoon. Like, that you're a corporal right to the whole Marine Corps now. Even though you picked up with like an 1100 because you're some pogue fuck who did whatever, you know.
And the 03 side is different because you could have different companies or battalion where you're working together all the time, and you have some dude who's in a different MOS, a different job specialty, that gets promoted because his cutting score is a lower requirement, and you've been in forever, and now you have to like technically stand at parade rest for him and like give him all this respect.
Yeah,
like, dude, you don't know shit.
Yeah, we had, I mean, and that's just like, you know, how it is. I had our tow gunners, 0352s, which people mistake all the time for 0351s. We had those guys. They came into our battalion like months after we did, like months after my generation came in. But they picked up corporal way before all of us because the 0352 score was like in the 1100s at the time, and the 0351 score was like 1800. But it didn't make any sense. There was no like reason for it. It's just a broken system. So
you had
ridiculous.
You had a tweet last night that was kind of contradictory to what the word like terminal lance means, like where you said last night you said that it was 10 o'clock at night and that's what it means to work at for yourself, that you feel bad for not working. And that's like the antithesis of what you would normally think as somebody who's like a terminal lance, like wanting to work hard all the time and like putting it out there. But you're grinding now. So kind of explain like how the transition happened to you, like how you went from being a Marine who was getting out to doing full-time artwork and comic. Was it always as soon as you got out full-time?
Sort of. I don't know. Like I got out in 2010, which is fuck 7 years ago now. It's the longest time ago. I knew, so like I, first and foremost, I don't consider myself a Marine first. And I think that's where, people get confused, because most people that are Marines are like, I'm a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. I'm just like what I am, you know, like, no, that's not
like chaps.
Yeah. Like me kind of.
I consider myself an artist first. Like I was an artist before I joined the Marine Corps. I was an artist the whole time I was in the Marine Corps, and I'm an artist now. And that's like just been, I joined the Marine Corps to support my art, like fundamentally. And the reason that I say that is because I have always been a writer. I've always been an artist. And for me, I was like 19 years old and I was like super angsty or whatever. And I was like, I got to do something that's going to give me like some worldly experience. So, you know, I was like, what's the most crazy thing that I can do at my age as a male? And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to join the Marine Corps infantry. I'm going to go to Iraq. Like that's what I want. Like that's how I'm going to get the thing that I want.
That's the exact same story I had.
Well, there you go. And that's so, like, when I got out, I knew that I was going to go to school because I had this GI Bill, which is amazing. Post-9/11 GI Bill is the best thing that's ever happened. And so I wanted to use that to pursue a career in art. So I went to the California College of the Arts in Oakland. And I studied animation because I want to get into filmmaking. I've just been doing it ever since. Terminal Lance, I mean, like, you know, I started it while I was still active duty, and I loved, you know, doing it. It was just a lot of fun. I didn't really know, like, I can't say for certainty that I knew that it was going to, like, carry my career this far and get me into sort of, like, where I am at this point.
Yeah, obviously,
but,
you couldn't
definitely
have
been great.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic, but you couldn't have predicted that. But, I mean, you said you've always been an artist, you've always been a writer, but what was kind of that aha moment that you looked around and you said, you know what, there's a shit ton of material here, why don't I just write a comic strip? Or, you know, what was that process? Like, you obviously, or did you just wake up one day and you're like, you know what, I'm going to write a comic strip about the Marines?
Well, so there's a bit of a story. I had always wanted to do like a web comic. I thought that I could do a pretty good one if I tried. And so this was even before the Marine Corps. Like I was just like, man, I really want to do a web comic. I think that'd be cool. Cause I was a big fan of like Penny Arcade and some other web comics that are out there. I play a lot of video games. So I'm into that. I was like, you know, I could do that. And, I was in the Marine Corps and I was, I started developing Terminal Lance as an idea back in 2008, but ultimately, I, you know, after some false starts, it didn't really go anywhere, and so then I sort of shelved it for a while. I went to Iraq again, and when I came back the second time, I was like, well, I'm getting out now, so I may as well just do this, you know. What are they going to do? So I stayed up all night and built the website, you know, and Googled my way through building a crappy WordPress site and just started doing it.
I think what you just said is like the difference between most people who would find themselves in like the Terminal Lance category and how you've been successful. Because what I hate to see is guys who have like no real plan and they get out just because they hate it. And then you look at them, I'm sure you know thousands or hundreds that are like that. That are just like, I got out because I hated the Marine Corps so much, and now I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, and to all of them, I would encourage you to just use your GI Bill. Like, if I don't care what you go study, just go spend 4 years out of college. Like, who cares? Like, study anything. Study underwater basket weaving. Who cares? Just use it. It's there. You know?
And I, I agree. And you said earlier today, those who cannot let go of their military experience are the ones who are most likely to suffer from depression after separation. Why do you think that is?
No, I firmly believe that. So this is like you just said, I just tweeted this out like a few minutes ago. And so it's sort of on my mind. You know, like there's this whole culture of just veteranism. You know what I mean? Where it's like you got the beard and you got the fucking grunt style shirt and the damn hat, with the American flag on it. You're like Kyle Carpenter, you know, mini Kyle Carpenter look that you got going on. Like that whole thing where you're like, yeah, I'm a veteran. Oh, I thrive on hate. Like what? Just a dumb thing, you know, where it's like, you know exactly what I'm talking about too when I say this. Like everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
Knows exactly what I'm fucking talking about. And I think that's a really unhealthy lifestyle. I think that I was ranting about this earlier. Imagine a girl named Stacy, right? And so everybody, so you dated Stacy, right? Stacy was amazing. Oh my gosh, she's so great. Like,
can we pick a different name? That's my ex-wife's name. Can we pick a different one?
That's fantastic.
How about Julie? Let's go with Julie.
Okay, Julie. So Julie, right? You dated Julie.
Julie's my mother's name. Man. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We'll stick with Julie.
Okay, so you dated Julie, right? She's just amazing. Oh my God, she smiles, lights up a room. You know, when she, her eyes are just beautiful. But you know, for whatever reason, things just didn't work out with Julie. You ended up breaking up. Maybe you didn't want to, maybe you did, who knows, but it didn't work out. Now imagine that you just can't let go of that. You're like, man, you know, Julie, fuck, I think about her all the time. So you start a group of people, right? And they all dated Julie at some point, you know, they're all just like Julie's exes and you all just like gather around and you just talk about Julie. You're like, man, Julie, you remember that? You remember how Julie loves like frozen yogurt? Isn't that just so cute? And you're like, yeah, man, Julie. Oh, Jesus, man. She just really loved frozen yogurt. You know, it's like, is that healthy? Like, is that really healthy? Like, are you moving on? Are you actually, you know, committing yourself
to living
a life?
I think there's a large difference between dwelling on it and like that becoming your sole identity, or every now and then looking back and being like, you know, sometimes things with Julie are pretty cool. But I understand what you're saying, that you, it's not something that you can like really dwell on, because I had that whenever I started at Barstool. Like in my introduction blog, I said that I didn't want to be known as the token military dude, but here I am fucking 8 months later doing a military podcast about politics and military life and shit like that. But I think that that's a little bit different from deriving your entire identity off of being this person who you were several years ago.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Like, I fully understand the irony of me even saying this because I've run Terminal Lance, which is, like, you know, all about the Marine Corps. But that's my professional life. Like, my personal life is very different. I don't walk around spouting off veteranism like, ooh, oh, Semper Fi, kill. You know, like, I don't. That's not me. Like, I am me, and my job is my job, and I love Marines, which is why I keep making comics for them.
So,
right. I don't keep – yeah, there's a big difference in my mind between Marines and the Marine Corps, just, you know, for the record. So I love Marines.
I do 100% agree with that. There's often times where I hate the fucking Marine Corps, but I love the Marines that comprise the Marine Corps.
Yeah, I love Lance Corporals specifically. I love Marines. I think they're the best people on the planet.
I'm getting there again because I got out as a staff sergeant, so I'm getting back to the point where I can appreciate
it. I think you have to leave, actually. I don't think you can do the podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, so I can appreciate that, Max, that, you know, you're kind of saying you have your professional life and then you have your personal life. So then do you just pull on memories, or do you wake up with an idea every day? Like, where does your inspiration come from?
It comes from the Marines, man. Like, my favorite thing about Terminal Land is my interaction with the active duty Marine Corps. And I think that's what really separates. So there's a plethora of military brands out there, especially. So Terminal Land sort of led the front on social media in the military community, for better or for worse, judging by what's going on the last week. But I think the difference between Terminal Land and most of these other outlets, and I can speak to only a few military brands that are very specific to the military that I would say represent the active duty military and that represent the veteran community, because they're two different. They're very different brands. They're two very different sort of like ideology. Like you look at something like, if I could just like Ranger Up, who are great. I love those guys. Ranger Up, Grunt Style, like all those guys, those t-shirt companies and stuff, like their veteran community, Terminal Lance, Duffel Blog, and not many others are active duty. Like I would
love Duffel Blog, man.
Yeah,
Duffel Blog's ridiculous.
Yeah, and so Duffel Blog is for active military. I mean, it really tries to stay in that lane and appeals to people in the military. And Terminal Lance does the same thing. I write a comic about Marines, not about veterans. And so there's a big difference between those two mindsets and lifestyles.
And I mean, do you find that the veteran community is oftentimes a lot more angry than the active? Like, the active dudes are joking around about fucking everything, and a lot of the veterans communities, like the ones you mentioned, can't find humor in anything.
Yeah, no, there is a huge difference. I think that the veteran community, here's the thing, like, what I really dislike are all these veteran pages that are like, we just love to hate. You know, and you know what I'm talking about? It's a stupid, like, fucking thing.
The perfect example is the one that comes out. The perfect example is the one that comes out every single spring break. Like, while you were in your classes doing spring break, I was in fucking Afghanistan. Shut the fuck up, dude. Like, people go to college, man.
Yeah, wait till the summer when it gets real hot and it's like, oh, you're complaining about the heat? Well, this soldier's walking around with 120 degrees with all his equipment on, so don't cry. It's like, yo, it's relax.
And then in 4 years, whenever he gets out, hopefully his ass will be in college taking spring break and summer break too.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, then that's the thing though. Like these veteran brands, they tend to be more angry because active duty Marines are dealing with so much bullshit every day that they don't have time to be angry. They just roll with the punches. Like, I never met a Lance Corporal while I was active duty that was just, like, an angry dude. Like, everybody was, like, really chill, you know. They were the funniest people I ever met in my life. Like, it was just, like, you know, we hated our lives, but we all were in it together, and it was just, like, this sucks, you know. The common enemy wasn't civilians. It was the Marine Corps. We were like, this shit sucks. We don't want to be here. And so there's a huge mindset difference in those two different communities. And so I think Terminal Lance really – at least for my part, like, I really try to embrace the active duty community because that's like, you know, I'm doing it for them. Like, I love the Lance Corporals. I know how much it sucks to be a Lance Corporal. So that's why I just try to make them laugh every week. And that's really what I'm all about.
Now, whenever you got to this point, did you ever think that you were going to be speaking on as many social issues that you are lately, like the Marine Facebook scandal and things like
no,
that?
No, not necessarily. Yeah, not necessarily, but I think that my comic has a sort of transcendent ability to address those issues because I do it in a way that is both impartial and funny. And that's really important because you can't just come across as being like, well, you should feel this way because, you know, you're wrong. Like, you can't say that because it's stupid. You have to put out a logical argument as to why they're wrong, and you have to make them laugh. You gotta sell it. You know, you gotta package it in a way that like helps them understand it, so that they can enjoy the information that they're being given. And I've tried to do that, you know, honestly, since day one. I mean, Terminal Lance has always kind of been about that. I mean, I remember back when Obama repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and everybody was freaking out about it. It was like, oh my God, you know, the military's over. We're you know, the gay people are gonna destroy it. And it's like, first off. So I did a comic. I did a comic about that.
I read this one that you're about to talk about today. I just read it like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's basically just like the Marine Corps is the gayest thing you've ever done. So like the gayest. Say that you, like, there is nothing gayer than being in the Marine Corps. Like, I don't care how.
The only thing more
say.
Gay is actually having a penis in your mouth. That's it.
Like, yeah, that might not even be as gay. Like, that's actually like
at
I
times,
can understand.
Sure.
That. Like, the
yeah.
Marine Corps is like. It is the gayest thing you'll ever do as a straight man. So, like, to have some sort of, like, grudge against gay people or to even, like, try to bring that up is just so ridiculous to me. So that's what I put out, and I think it really
– So I'll tell – like, I'll tell – you want to tell them what the comment was? Do you remember, like, off the top of your head?
Yeah, yeah, the first one. So the – it was called It's Already Gay.
Yeah.
It's basically about Marines. So, like – in the first two panels, they're just doing, like, super gay stuff, like fingering each other's buttholes, calling it an oil check, which they did all the time. And,
credit card.
You know, Yeah, and like taking showers with each other and slapping each other on the ass and whatever, you know. But then in the third panel, they're like, I don't want no queers in my Marine Corps. It's like, really?
Yeah, so gonna, like the first one, the guy's like slapping him on the ass, and the dude that's getting his ass slapped while he's in the shower is like, haha, nice. And like the other one is like a finger like straight up his butt. He's like, hell, LOL, that's hilarious. And then the other ones are like, what are you doing, queer? We don't want gays in our military.
Yeah, yeah. And, so that's
I don't know if your experience with this, with like don't ask, don't tell, but nobody even really gave a fuck. Like no one cared.
No, exactly. Yeah. Nobody in the active duty military gave a shit about don't ask, don't tell, because we already knew people were gay. It was like, whatever. Okay. I don't care. It's the guys that were out. It's this vocal, annoying veteran community that's like, oh, well, we kind of queers in my military, my Marine Corps. We took them out in the tree line and beat the shit out of them. Like, really? That's horrible. Like, what are you what are you talking about?
And then have some moral superiority about it, too.
Yeah, which is just absurd. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so, I mean, that goes a long way in dispelling the common misconceptions about the military, and I think that's something that Chaps and I try to do. We try to give you a more real view of what it's actually like in the military. Do you feel any sort of sense of responsibility to portray the Marines in one way or another?
Yes, but not in the way the Marine Corps might want me to. I have a responsibility to portray the Marine Corps as it is, and realistically, which doesn't always align with, you know, the Marine Corps' kind of agenda for, you know, how they see themselves. And so, you know, that can be at odds with many people's conceptions about the Marine Corps, like, you know, what it means to be a Marine. You know, for my part, I try to portray Marines as normal people, because that's essentially what they are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just as soon as you slap them on the yellow footprints, they become, you know, they go a little crazy, but yeah. You know, you gotta bring it back down to earth a little bit. So that's what I try to do with Terminal Land.
Absolutely. So as a follow-on, have you ever been approached by any sort of brass or any sort of leadership that said like, hey, we didn't like this particular comic, or hey, you need to tone it down? Not that they have any right to tell you, but have you ever been approached by anyone that had an issue with your comic?
I have. I very much have. yeah, I'm not going to go into details, because it's sort of like secret clearance level stuff, but yeah, I have.
I bet. I mean, you had a comic about that was like in 2010. It was just a couple of Lance Corporals sitting around reading it. And then in 2012, it was maybe like the corporals and sergeants reading it. Now it's like fucking everybody's reading Terminal Lance. Like, if you've been it, because it's been there for so long, you've grown up with it. So guys who are coming up on the officer side, majors, and guys who are coming up on the enlisted side, like staff sergeants, gunnies, they've all read it from the beginning. So it's pretty wild. Like, it's pretty fun to watch, like, from the outside to see your success and like how it's grown. And I really do think you're the most read person in the history of the Marine Corps, because we're not reading fucking long books. I mean, you could say that we're going to read, what's that, The Message to Garcia? We ain't fucking reading Message to Garcia. We're reading Terminal Lance.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Message to Garcia is no longer on the Commandant's reading list. And they did not put the White Donkey on the Commandant's reading list.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Book, you know? I never thought I'd live to see the day where Message to Garcia is not on the Commandant's reading list.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's, yeah, who knows.
So tell the folks about your book, White Donkey. Tell them what White Donkey is all about.
So The White Donkey is a 250-page graphic novel about, it's essentially a like really fictionalized sort of, not, I don't even want to say, you know, my experience necessarily, but I mean, it is. It's really based on my first deployment to Camp Fallujah and Zidon. It's about a Marine and his surreal journey to Iraq and home, and sort of the trials and tribulations of being a Marine and coming home and that whole experience.
The story is great in the book. I just finished it like 2 weeks ago. The story is great in the book. I loved it, man. Like, the illustrations were awesome. It was just like a continuation of your book, but it was nice to see you have more space than just the 3 or 4 blocks of a comic strip to explain your idea more fully. It was well written. The comics were great. You can catch Max's stuff at terminallance.com. You can follow him on Twitter at either terminallance.com or TLC. Isn't that right? What's your Twitter handle? Say that for the people.
It's at TLCPL Max, as in Terminal Lance Corporal Max.
All right, and give him a follow there. Great shit.
So one of the things I like to ask people when they read The White Donkey. So the title of the book is The White Donkey, right?
Yes.
What did you think the White Donkey represented in the story?
I saw you tweeting about that the other day, and I don't want to sound like an idiot because I've been struggling with my ad reads lately. So why don't you tell people what the White Donkey is so I don't look like a white donkey?
No, I can't do that. It's open to interpretation. I have my intention, but I like to sort of know what other people think. And the reason that I ask is because every time people talk to me about the White Donkey, they never actually mention the White Donkey, which is sort of, it's funny because it's the title of the book and it's sort of this like all binding, really important aspect of the thematics of the book. But people never bring it up. They're always like, yeah, it's about Iraq, it's about a Marine, and like, you know, and it's like, oh, but what about the donkey?
You know, when I first ordered the book, I thought to myself, I'm like, I'm surprised that this is an idiom from the Marine Corps that I don't recognize. I thought it was something that was going to be like a pervasive theme that we normally have, but it definitely wasn't that. So pick up Max's book, The White Donkey, on Amazon. It got to me. It was on next day delivery, which is pretty dope if you have Amazon Prime. Max, thanks so much. We'll have you back on again. We're going to go to California, to Camp Pendleton, hopefully this summer, to do a little base tour. Hopefully you can come out and chill with us. Yep.
Yeah, man. Yep. I'd love to. Camp Pendleton's good people. So.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Max. We appreciate you giving us your time and the interesting story. And definitely everyone, give them a follow because it's one of the best – follows on Twitter, not just military follows, just best follows, I think.
Max.
So
go to terminallance.com, check out his shit. I'll write a blog and you can check out some of my favorite ones that he has because they're just fantastic. The dude's a genius, like written and drawing. Anyways, Save Rounds, Alibis, Connor?
Just be on the lookout. Operation Heal Our Heroes. We've got an event that's going to be coming up in the spring, late spring, right before summer, hopefully, up in Boston. My city that I've been put in charge of for our growth strategy is Boston. So just be on the lookout for that. We're looking to do something fun. And also, if you're in the Boston area and you got some ideas for things we can do to raise some awareness about veterans' healthcare, just hit me up. Slide in those DMs. Love to work with you.
Riggsy, Save Rounds, Alibis?
I just think that we should probably mention Kurt Cochran, who was the man killed yesterday in London in the terrorist attack. Both he and his wife were just on vacation. Just a reminder, we've talked about a ton of things on this show, a good amount of it, and a lot of the most fascinating part of it is, you know, the fight against terrorism, how much the world changed, you know, on 9/11 and since, how big of a part our military plays in all of that. And so, you know, this is another thing, another incident that sucks. So obviously, you know, thoughts and prayers with him, his family now, and all of that. But just thought we should mention him, Kurt Cochran, Utah man.
Yeah, and I guess just to bring it back just a little bit, like, you know, we're talking about all this crazy stuff going on in Washington, and it's almost like, I don't want to say forgotten, but it's pushed to the back burner that we still have this fight against terrorism that is raging on, that needs attention and, you know, needs something to happen in the immediate future. So it's almost a shame that we're dealing with these issues and we can't, I think, focus on things that are, and chaps, it wasn't to trivialize that if our, you know, electoral process is being hacked. That definitely requires our attention. But I just think, like, we talked about the healthcare. We're talking about terrorism. I think there are just so many other issues that I think, me personally, I'll speak for myself, I would like to see those get more of the attention.
I agree. There's a lot of things that are going on that need to be focused on. And hopefully they will. Hopefully the shit calms down. Or it even needs to pick the fuck up and have a finality to it. Or something needs to happen, because we can't, as a nation, we can't do this for fucking 4 years. Just
it's exhausting. It's exhausting in every way possible.
Exhausting. Yeah. Side note for me, save round for me, my golf shit is almost complete, so that's been going well. Golfing's going well. I am doing the consistent for about a month now, 100 hits a day, and it's really helping
that's
my
awesome.
Game out.
Yeah, how's your swing feeling?
Swing's feeling good. I had to manipulate some of my shit because even though I knew I wasn't going to hit a light that was over my head in the garage, it was always kind of in the back of my mind.
Yeah, it's like if you're underneath a tree.
So I felt like I was short chopping it a little bit. So I moved some stuff around, and now I can get real solid swings in. But I've only been doing like 60, 70% strength on the swings too, just making sure that my club face is going through and I'm falling through with my legs. Like to try to just do it slow play.
That's smart. So. Get that proper muscle memory going.
Absolutely. But Chaps, bad news, buddy. When you come up here and play, you're going to have to wear a shirt.
Probably not. All right. Sit on the retreat.